Call the House Committee on Healthcare to order for this lovely April 15th. If anybody hasn't paid their taxes yet, you have time to get to the post office.
And the way things are going, we need them.
Yeah, that's right. We need the money.
Yes, we do.
Those of you that are used to this committee running smoothly as a clock, we're going to be moving more like a sand dial today. I mean, a sand glass, or maybe a sundial. So it's going to be a bit clunky as we go along. You see, we have a huge agenda. I'm going to start with announcing some that we know we're going to carry over. Well, let's see if we can go through those. What have we got for the carryover?
It's a Friday.
We're moving 2028 to Friday. Waiting for a possible amendment. We're moving 3230, is that right? Isn't it?
Yes. Oh no, 3230 is Monday.
Are we moving that to Monday?
Monday.
I'm moving 3230, yes?
The first one was to Friday or Monday?
To Friday.
That's 2208?
2028.
2028.
Second under work session.
3232.
So, is this our second bill now that we're talking about?
No. Yes.
Okay. Now we're on 3230.
Thank you.
We're moving that to Monday. We're rescheduling it on Monday.
Okay.
We're waiting for a lot of fiscals, and I'm going to hold some because we may yet get some fiscals today. What's the next one?
3396 to Friday.
3396 is going to Friday. We're just carrying that one over. Next. $2,758.
Correct, for right now.
Yeah, we're going to open up.
No. You're going to carry that over?
Yeah, we're going to carry $2,758 over to Friday.
Right.
There'll be more things coming along as we know. Do we have a full house yet?
No, we don't.
You see if you can find Representative Clem and ask him to join us. Fits your schedule all right?
Okay, do we have...
The prodigal has joined us.
Gets a little
so let's do some easy stuff first, all right?
Oh, well. Okay.
Well, hello.
Which one do you want to open up? 2023?
Let's go to 2023. I'm going to open a work session on 2023. What do we have?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2023 had a public hearing on March 11th. At the time, at that point, it specified and outlined that a hospital develop, implement, and enforce a protocol for the discharge of a patient who has been hospitalized for treatment or observation for a behavioral health crisis. The Dash 4 amendments, dated 4/13/15, replaces the original measure, which directs hospitals to adopt and enforce discharge policies for individuals that have been treated for behavioral health crisis, specifies the criteria to be included in the policy, such July 1, 2016, as the operative date. There's a no fiscal on the dashboards, and there's a no revenue impact, Mr. Chair.
Can I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated April 13, 2015, for House Bill 2023.
Representative Nose moves the Dash 4 amendments dated 4/13/15 to House Bill 2023. Is there any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd just like to thank the many people here, Patty O'Sullivan representing the hospitals and healthcare systems, and Jessica Adamson, and a whole number of people that have worked really hard to get the language right and to align this as closely as possible as another bill that we passed recently, which was the CARE Act, the discharge planning for mostly elder people. So
thank you.
I'm very supportive of the amendment.
Any objection? dash fours are in 2023. We have a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move House Bill 2023 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nose moves House Bill 2023 as amended with a dash four amendments to the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We're not going to consider the dash five amendments for the naturopaths.
Different we bill. Are not.
Excuse me, I'm not one bill.
That's a different bill. But I think the answer is going to be no to that question, too.
Okay, well, I was asking. But evidently on the wrong bill. Pardon me for being in the wrong spot.
Any other discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Bueller?
Yes.
Representative
Klein?
Aye. Representative
Kanemer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Blindman?
Aye.
Representative Weinman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion carries. I have a sense Representative Kenny Geyer's interest in this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supposedly, I was told.
Close the work session on 2023. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, so let's skip it.
All
right. Let's do the movement of
35.
Is that 3,300? No. Yeah. 3,300. You move 3,300 to rules, is that right?
Yeah, 3,145 is ready to go to Ways and Means.
3,145? Oh, 45? Okay, let's
right.
do that. There's no amendments to it.
Great.
Obama work session on House Bill 3,145.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3145 had a public hearing on April 8th. It requires the private pay home care workers registered with the Oregon Home Care Commission to be subject to at least the same standards as licensed in-home care agencies, requires the commission to conduct periodic evaluations of private pay home care workers, declares an emergency effective on passage. There are no amendments, but there is a fiscal impact, Mr. Chair, and LFO is requesting that it be referred to Ways and Means.
Do we have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do, but before I do it, is it supposed to be moved with a recommendation, or do we just
no
send
recommendation.
It to the committee? No recommendation. So, Mr. Chair, I would like to move House Bill 3145 to the Committee on Ways and Means with no recommendation.
Representative Nose moves House Bill 3145 to the Committee on Ways and Means
without recommendation.
I do have my ventriloquist act today. It's going very well. So. I can smoke at the same time she talks. It's really
nice. I should smoke while you talk.
Either of you should smoke.
There's this thing called the Indoor Clean Air Act.
Is there any discussion on this bill?
Well, we haven't settled on e-smoke.
Hearing no discussion.
We have not on vaping.
Is there an objection to moving to Ways and Means? So moved. No roll call. See how easy that was?
We love that.
That was
what's
good.
Next? Mm-hmm.
33. Well, 33, we've got to suspend the rules. You might as well do that one.
Speed.
3301?
No, 3300.
3300, okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3300. This bill is going to...
3,300, right?
To the Rules Committee. Without recommendation, but I don't have the paperwork, so I have to suspend the rules to move it without paper. Representative Kenemer? No, I'm sorry. Representative Nose?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move that our committee suspend the rules and send House Bill 3,300.
No. To suspend the rules to consider the House Bill 3,300.
Where did it go? Okay. There's...
Isn't this fun?
Maybe.
Let's try again.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 3300 without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time.
Representative Nose moves to suspend the rules to allow consideration of House Bill 3300 without having the fiscal or revenue paper at this time. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I would prefer to actually see the fiscal on it first. Thank you.
Okay. Will you call the roll on the motion, please?
Representative Bueller?
No.
Excuse me?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, threw me off there. This is to go to rules.
This is
to
recommend
it.
This is
to suspend
the rules. Right.
Representative. Sure, yes.
Representative Kenner?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Hayden?
No.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlink?
Aye. Is that, do we have a vote? We need six, right? Yeah. Motion to suspend the rules passes. We have another motion now.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we send House Bill 3300 to the Rules Committee with no recommendation.
Representative Nose moves we move House Bill 3300 without recommendation to the Rules Committee. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I will support this effort. I have concerns about this bill, but I think it's a discussion that needs to occur.
I think many of us have concerns about this bill. That's why it's going for
it's
further
action. Recommendation.
I think you're...
And I'm on rules, totally so I get to see this again.
There you go.
Lively owes me.
Representative Hayden's requesting a roll call on this vote.
Yeah, I was going to do a roll call. Can we have a roll call, please?
No, we're on record.
No.
Well, what all you owe me?
Representative Klein?
Aye.
Representative Kenner?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Hayden?
No.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlink?
Aye. Motion carries and 3300 moves to Rules Committee.
Okay.
And close the work session on House Bill 3300. Madam Administrator, do we have another easy one?
3513.
Well,
I don't know if they're easy.
Turns out nothing's easy, but...
I can just tell you if they're ready or not. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3513 creates the Rural Medicaid Access and Development Act to provide financial support for rural hospitals and healthcare providers and establishes a primary care residency programs in the rural communities, establishes the Rural Medicaid Access and Development Fund, appropriates general fund monies to the Oregon Health Authority. This has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and we have all the paperwork and no amendments, Mr. Chair.
That's 3513.
That is, Mr. Chair.
We have a motion on 3513, please.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3513 to the Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation.
Doesn't this go to the floor?
Well,
that's a subsequent.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try again.
3513.
Can we move it directly to Ways and Means?
Well,
yes.
It's the intent of the committee, so okay. You can
move it to Ways and Means without recommendation. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, that's up to the committee.
I mean, that's an
that is
allowable
the
motion.
That is a motion, Mr. Chair. Yes.
Okay. Representative Nose moves House Bill 3513 to the Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
We received a letter that will be put into OLIS with support of the 32 A and B and C hospitals and also support of the additional making 62 hospitals. They did want some minor amendments on it, and they seemed reasonable.
I think two of them were moving to Ways and Means. Yeah, okay. And we're on 3513 now.
Right.
Thank you. Could you call the roll, please?
Representative
Yes.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative
Kennemer?
Aye. Representative Kennedy?
Aye.
Representative Geyer?
Aye.
Representative
Lively?
Aye. Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. 3513 is on its way to Ways and Means Committee. There's a similar one. We're also moving to Ways and Means. Is that right? Is that 3356?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's open a work session on House Bill 3356. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, 3356 had a public hearing on the 13th. This requires the Oregon Health Authority to administer the program to provide loans to the hospitals for establishing new primary care residency programs. On the 13th, you adopted the dash 3, Mr. Chair. We do have a dash 4 that corrects an error in the dash 3. The committee, if they so choose, need to adopt the dash 4, which will be laid on top of the dash 3, and we do not need to rescind off of that amendment.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash 4 amendment dated April 14, 2015, for House Bill 3356.
Representative Notes moves we adopt the dash 4 amendments dated April 14th, 2015, to House Bill 3356. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection? So moved. Representative Notes?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3356 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Without recommendation? Oh, with a due pass?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to move this without recommendation.
I'm often unclear about that, Mr. Chair, but I know it's getting to the right committee, whether and then they're free to take our recommendation or not, I guess.
Let's have another motion.
All right.
Let's rescind.
Try again. Will you just let me rescind the motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just take your motion off the table.
I'd like to take my motion off the table. Is there any objection?
No. Let's do the same thing.
Why don't we?
Well, usually give it more time.
Can we recommend?
The agreement was to move both those hospital bills to Ways and Means without recommendation.
Okay.
And work them out there.
Okay.
I think we have a lot of support for both of the bills, and the issue would be, A, how do we get money, and B, how do and do they end up with two separate bills or one bill?
Okay, we'll work on that.
Not because we don't support the bills.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
You want to try this again? Yep.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3356 as amended to the floor with no recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Notes moves House Bill 3356 as amended with the dash 4 amendments to the floor with no recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on? Yes, sir.
Did we adopt the dash 4s yet?
Yes.
No. Yes.
No. Okay.
Without objection.
Okay. That was really quick. So I'm very supportive of sending this to Ways and Means, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, let's have a roll call, please.
Representative Buehler?
Yes.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Kenner?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative
Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Notes?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. 3356 is on its way to Ways and Means. All right, while we reach where we are, let's open a couple of public hearings, if we may. And I'm going to ask all the witnesses, you see a lot of people in the room, to be as brief as possible. As I've said in the past, say what you need to say, nothing more. We have a rule around here that sometimes people say everything's been said, but I haven't said it. It's been said. Don't say it. Let's open up a
human nature.
Rep. Gillian is here for 3517.
All right, let's open. That's what I was opening. Let's open up a public hearing on House Bill 3517.
Representative Kenny Geyer, Representative Gillian, please. Mr. Chair, this authorizes the Oregon Health Authority to provide medical assistance within available funds to children under 18 years of age whose family income is at or below 300% of federal poverty level. Guidelines and who do not qualify for the Health Care for All Oregon Children's Program. This declares an emergency effective on passage.
Go. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vic Gilliam, State Representative from Silverton. My accomplishments are few, but because of my seating on the floor, I can always say I'm just a little ahead of Representative Lively. Now, Mr. Chair, I could give you 20 minutes of testimony on my opinion on Obamacare, or I can give you 1 minute on this bill.
Since you have so few accomplishments generally, I would stick to the 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And touche.
Grace the city, I think we call it.
It's my pleasure to speak on this bill. because this bill is about Oregon children, classmates of our children, children of parents who work with us, children who need and deserve health care, just like our children. Offering these kids health care does not indicate your approval of the president's health care policies. But it does show, to me, it shows decency and compassion. Plus, it's smart. And it could save suffering, and it could also save dollars for all Oregonians. The children who are the focus of this bill, like our children, are living, playing, and growing up in Oregon and America. One small aspect worth mentioning of this bill, other than the large points that I've tried to make, is that it could help children who get sick here in Oregon on a foreign student exchange. My own daughter was a Rotary exchange student in high school, and she got ill a couple of times in Brazil, and I'm very grateful for the folks that reached out to her and provided that kind of care. I think that's a small benefit, but an important benefit to this bill. I think it's worth your time to investigate not only the compassion that this bill represents, and I should say that it's brought to you by one of the most compassionate representatives that I have ever worked with, and you're going to hear from her in just a moment.
I thought you were referring to the chair.
I'm pleased that he's on the bill, of course, but I was referring to you. And I think it's worth you delving into the possible savings and disease and illness containment that this bill offers to a very vulnerable population in Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I yield to my partner in crime here.
Thank you. Very well done, as usual.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just read a brief statement and then be open to questions. I'm Representative Alyssa Kinney-Geyer from House District 46, parts of Northeast and Southeast Portland. I'm very honored to be here with my colleague, Representative Gilliam. You may remember a photograph that we had on the front page of the Oregonian at the close of my first 2012 session showing good bipartisan support. So I've appreciated working with Representative Gilliam on a number of issues. On this one, it is estimated that there are more than 17,600 children in Oregon who are excluded from the definition of child for the purposes of medical assistance. This is referring to the statute that is in the bill. HB 3517 adds a new category of child that encompasses children who are not currently eligible for medical assistance. Without this new language, Oregon Health Authority is unable to address the needs of this population, which could pose a public risk. This is a public health issue for all of Oregon's children. The children who are categorically excluded are in school and are in our communities. Limiting OHA's ability to provide medical assistance, if needed, limits the ability of OHA to protect all Oregonians. House Bill 3517 will not create a new program and will not cost money. It simply fixes Oregon's statute that excludes some of Oregon's children from medical assistance. The current exclusion undermines the health of all Oregonians. We have a public health responsibility to ensure and protect the health of every Oregonian and their communities from preventable and serious public health threats. We respectfully ask you to pass the bill and to put the state in a better position of fulfilling its responsibility of preserving the public's health. And we have, I think there are a few speakers who will speak. I just want to thank Providence and some of the others who are, I think Providence is on record, and some of the others are going to come up and talk about, from a healthcare perspective, why this is important.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions to this panel?
Yes, sir. I had a brief question. On Monday, I believe it was, we moved, this committee moved 2934, which is giving the Oregon, or requires Oregon Health Plan to submit a blueprint for the basic health plan. Is not this population that you're referring to in House Bill 3517 included in that blueprint?
It's actually not included in that blueprint. The basic health plan goes for the people who are in the five-year bar, which is who are here legally but have to be here 5 years before they can do Oregon Health Plan. Actually, the children, so under 19, are included in CHIP, in Children's Health Insurance, but it's the adults that the basic health plan would refer to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call the next panel, please.
Martin Taylor and Doug Riggs. And that's the end, Mr. Chair.
Is that nobody else? Are you sure?
That's right.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Doug Riggs. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon School-Based Healthcare Alliance, and we represent the school-based health centers around the state of Oregon, both urban and rural. School-based health centers work to keep kids healthy so that they can learn and be successful in school and in life. We know that the health of students affects test scores, attendance, classroom behavior, grades, and graduation rates. We also know that there are health disparities among the children that this bill targets, and that when we talk about the achievement gap in education, we are largely talking about the same kids that have health disparities in Oregon. House Bill 3517 allows the Oregon Health Authority and its partners the ability to be able to provide medical assistance within available funds to low-income children in Oregon. Currently, school-based health centers work to address disparities by providing services that are culturally sensitive and respectful of family values and diversity for all families and all children, regardless of their ability to pay. The School-Based Health Alliance's vision is that all children and health are youth, all children and youth are healthy, learning, and thriving. This vision does not change based on the circumstances in which a child lives. Mr. Chairman, the Oregon School-Based Health Alliance urges your support for 3517, and I'd be happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Taylor?
Chair Greenlich, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Martin Taylor. I'm the Director of Public Policy and Community Relations for CARE Oregon, and I'm here representing CARE Oregon and then also the Columbia Pacific CCO and Jackson CARE Connect CCO. And the instruction is not to be repetitive, and there's such a simple, obvious case. I don't have a lot left to say. I will identify the three principles that brings CARE Oregon into this conversation. The first of which is that the OHA has a responsibility to protect the public health, and this is an important part of giving them the tools to keep that responsibility. The second is that uninsured kids are a particularly high-risk group of kids, and that high risk creates a high risk for all of our kids that come in contact them with school and community centers and playgrounds. And finally, there's a cost avoidance component. Kids are at a stage in their life where things that can harm them are preventable, whether that's a chronic condition, a contagious disease, exposure to trauma and violence. And when kids have those circumstances in their life, treating them early has a lifetime of benefit. These kids will ultimately be society's responsibilities, and we either invest in them early and reduce our costs or wait, and then they become more expensive. My last observation will be a personal anecdote. I have a 14-month-old who's just starting childcare, and I think we are all familiar with the experience of having that kid for the first time exposed to other kids, so I've got a cold today. You're going to find...
It won't be your last.
Get used to it.
The germs that you're all lucky. Kids have, your kids have, and ultimately you have too, so just think on that.
Are there any questions in this panel? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
Here we have Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just looking at it, and we're saying within the additional funds that we have, but we're going to add 17,000 kids, and we're saying no cost. I don't see how we can have no cost when you're adding 17,000.
We're not adding them to anything. All this bill does is make up a mistake in a federal law, and it simply allows the Oregon Health Authority to do whatever it wants to do. There's no program, there's no fiscal. It only gives the OHA the authority to plan for this population, which it doesn't have now.
So, well, I guess if we start planning, that means we will need funds at some point.
Well, maybe we'll get a bill that has funds in it, we'll consider it at that point, but this does not have any funds nor any program. It simply makes up for a statute that says the authority can't do anything for this population unless they have specific authority from the legislature to do it. This bill gives them that authority.
only reason I'm bringing the question up, Mr. Chair, is because I remember when we did, like, the 80,000 kids and everything, one of the big things it was, are we going to include illegal aliens? And I was pretty adamantly against doing that because it incentivizes people to come to the country, and we're a state that we can't afford bringing all these people onto our own health care system.
When we get a bill that does that, you can make that point.
So, well, this is opening the door to start doing that, so.
We control that door. So OHA can't do anything without legislative approval, either in the Ways and Means process or in the policy process. So this does nothing. This opens no door that we don't control. Thank you very much. If I have a motion on this bill? Wait a minute. Close the public hearing. Sure. 3464, I open a work session. No. I got the right one. Is that the one we want? No.
That is the one we want.
Close the public hearing on 3517. I haven't opened one yet on 3464. And open a work session on 3517. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendment dated 4-13-15.
Representative Kenny Geyer moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendment stated 4-13-15 to House Bill 3517. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection? So moved.
Did you?
No, not on the amendment.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I move House Bill 3517 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion on that?
Mr. Chair?
There is. Yes, sir.
I will be a no on 3517 because, I mean, even just in the description stuff, it's adding low-income children residing in Oregon, and it's directed to basically people who aren't in the country legally, some illegally, and we're a state. We have X number of funds, and at some point, the next thing we'll be dealing with is a bunch of people here saying, well, we need money to help fund this program. We opened the door. Oregon health authorities looked into it. We have 17,000 more children here that we have to deal with. So I will be a no on this bill.
That will be our decision as time it comes. Is there any other discussion on this? Yes, Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Chair Greenlee. This is a difficult bill. This population is an important population, and we have seen some movement in this committee this year, even as far as getting coverage for them. Some of you know that I provide free medical services internationally and here in Lane and Douglas County. We do have some bills. There's a lot of organizations out there that are willing to provide funding for that. Very excited about it. And I think we can be very efficient in that environment and still have money to provide services under the Affordable Care Act that we currently do. So I will be a no vote on it, though I'm very sympathetic to the population. It's just that the state only has so many dollars, and so I encourage your involvement with nonprofit organizations that do provide these services.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I do want to make a brief comment. I really appreciate the providers and the nonprofits that offer these kind of services. I think the point of this bill is to make sure that our state institutions' hands are not tied with, in legal terms. Anytime they want to go out and do anything, if they're scared that what they offer in services it could be illegal, even if it's a measles outbreak or anything else, I think that we just need to make sure that we're allowing our state institution to do what's needed to protect the health of all Oregonians and unshackle their hands in this way. There's not any specific bill request on the table this session. I want to make that clear. But I think it's really important that we say our state agency is looking out for the health of all Oregonians.
Good. Should we call the roll, please?
Representative Buehler?
No.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Kenimer?
No.
Representative Kenny
Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Weider?
No.
Vice Chair Hayden?
No.
Vice Chair Noth?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Representative Kenny Geyer and I will carry it. Close the work session on 3517 and open a public hearing on 3343. Chair, what, Administrator, what do we got?
You like your taxes with that money. I just wanted over it last night. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3343 requires medical assistance programs to include 12 months coverage of prescription contraceptives under specified condition, requires insurers that cover prescription contraceptives to cover the refills for the duration of the plan. Of the plan period. You have a dash one amendment that requires insurers that cover the prescription contraceptives to reimburse the healthcare provider or dispensing entity for a 3-month supply of the contraceptives and then for a 12-month period after the initial 3 months. We have Senator Steiner Hayward here. Okay. Stacy Cross and C.C. Patton, please come.
Could they have a legislative interest? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, somebody's put it.
Hello, Senator.
Hello, Representative.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody.
Go for it.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, State Senator from District 17.
And my very own senator.
My very own representative, chairing this. Always a pleasure to sit in front of this committee and have this conversation. And apropos of this bill, I'm also a family physician, so I deal with issues around contraception on a fairly regular basis and have for my entire career. House Bill 3343 is really important. Birth control is one of those things that once you've figured out what works for you, it works for you. Unless your life circumstances change, you're going to stick with what you know works and what you're comfortable using, and that's not going to change on a regular basis. It's not going to change month to month. It's not like blood pressure medicine or diabetes medicine where you might have to change dosing or add something else. You find a method that works, and it works, and you stick with it. And for women who use contraceptive pills or patches or NuvaRing or any of the ones that you have to use on an ongoing basis and change on an ongoing basis, having to get that prescription refilled monthly or even at best every 3 months is an inconvenience, and it results in noncompliance with the method of birth control and a significant increased risk for unplanned pregnancy. And we know that women who have unplanned pregnancies are less likely to complete their education, are less likely to have professional careers, are more likely to live in poverty. And our goal for the entire state is to increase economic success for everyone. And we know that when women succeed economically, everyone succeeds economically. And having effective contraception is one of the best ways that we can ensure economic success so that when women want to have a family, they're ready to have a family and they can provide for that family. It results in more stable households as well, and that's very important. Ultimately, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I urge your support for this bill because providing a 12-month supply once a woman is clearly established after 3 months of using a given contraception method will significantly decrease the risk of unplanned pregnancies and increase the likelihood that women achieve the level of education that they want and deserve, that we have fewer unplanned pregnancies that result in mothers living in poverty, abortions, things that we're eager to avoid on all fronts. So I urge your success on this, and my counterparts to my right and left will be able to give you even more detail. But as a family physician, this is a really important measure. I don't want people having to call my office every 3 months. Pharmacists don't want it, and patients don't want it. And this is an important measure. This medicine doesn't change from year to year.
Thank you.
Month to month.
Any questions of the Senator?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I guess my question, can you write a prescription for 12 months now?
Yeah. I can write a prescription, but it won't get filled for 12 months. Mr. Chair, Representative Widener, my apologies.
It lasts for a 12-month period, so you can go and pick up the prescription over 12 months.
Yes, but I have heard, if I may, Mr. Chair, I've heard plenty of stories from families about, for example, young women who are away at college or away in the Peace Corps and families having to mail birth control prescriptions to them across the country or even across the world every 3 months, and that's not a really effective way to prevent pregnancy.
I guess you don't go to a different Walgreens and pick up your prescription, if I may follow up?
Well, okay. If I may, Mr. Chair, my own daughter lives in Massachusetts for college, and there is no pharmacy that takes our insurance within a two-mile radius of her college campus. So any prescription of hers, regardless of what it's for, we have to pick up at a local pharmacy and mail to her. So no matter what prescription it is, we have to mail it to her.
May I follow up? Because I'm just kind of curious how this changes
This is about insurance coverage. It's not about what a doctor prescribes.
But the insurance is still doing it, and if you write it, you can go pick up the prescription where you're close.
Let's go on with the testimony.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. I'm chairing my own committee right now. Do I have your indulgence to let other folks answer these questions for you?
Ma'am.
Thank you very much. I apologize. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Chair Greenlick and the committee, my name is Stacy Cross, and I'm the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 3343, which will provide greater access to birth control and reduce the rate of unintended pregnancies in our great state. Since 1963, PPCW has successfully carried out its mission of providing, promoting, and protecting access to quality reproductive and sexual health care. We do more than any other organization in this state to prevent unplanned pregnancies. Currently, the Oregon Contraceptive Care Program and the Oregon Health Plan provide patients with a 12-month supply of birth control at one time, but private insurers only provide reimbursement for 30 to 90 days. House Bill 3343 will require all insurance carriers provide reimbursement for a 12-month supply of birth control at one time. Studies show that dispensing a greater supply of contraceptives at a clinic visit is associated with fewer repeat visits, greater contraception continuation, and a reduction of the odds of pregnancy. In the words of Diane Greene Foster of the University of California at San Francisco, women need to have contraceptives on hand so that their use is automatic as a safety device in a car. Providing one cycle of oral contraceptives at a time is similar to asking people to visit a clinic or a pharmacy to renew their seatbelts each month. Dr. Foster led a study that shows the rates of unintended pregnancy and abortion decrease significantly when women receive a one-year supply of oral contraceptives. Researchers observe a 30% reduction in the odds of pregnancy and a 46% decrease in the odds of abortion in a woman given a one-year supply of oral contraceptives. According to the Guttmacher Institution, inconsistent use of contraception accounts for 41% of unintended pregnancies. Making contraception more accessible not only reduces the incident of unintended pregnancies and abortion, it also saves money. If 65,000 women in the analysis who received either one or three packs of pill at a time had experienced the same pregnancy and abortion rates as women who received one-year supply, almost 1,300 pregnancies and 300 abortions would have been averted, according to this research team. We also know that it's in the best interest of insurers to cut costs down because this bill will, in fact, reduce cost. The average commercial insurer payment for all maternity and newborn care ranges from $18,000 to $28,000. The average hormonal birth control costs range from $100 to $600 a year. By preventing just one unintended pregnancy, an insurer will save a minimum of $17,400, and this is enough to pay for 29 additional years of contraception. Improving access to contraception methods reduces unintended pregnancies and helps women plan their families. Please join me in supporting House Bill 3343. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Cece Patton, and I'm here as a young woman who takes birth control in support of HB 3343. I began taking birth control a year ago to ease pain associated with my menstrual cycle, and I anticipate that I will be taking contraceptives for the better part of the next 30 years. I'm a junior in high school, and I already know that the world expects a lot out of my generation. I'm a good student, and I value my education. I study hard so that I can graduate high school and get into college. I participate in varsity lacrosse, and I have practice every night, often until 10 p.m. Just this week, I was named captain of my team, which is an honor because I'm not a senior. On the weekends and at days after school when I don't have practice, I work at my part-time job. I set my alarm every morning for 4 a.m. to get up and take birth control because it's supposed to be taken at a very consistent time, and my schedule is so hectic that that is the only time that I always will be at the same place and the same time. I can refill my prescription every 90 days, and I'm able to have the refill mailed to me, but even remembering to order in enough time to make sure I don't miss a day is sometimes a challenge. If I do miss a day, my menstrual cycle causes me a lot of pain, and that negatively impacts my education. Something as important and effective as birth control should be just a little easier to get. Many of my friends who take birth control don't have the same options. One young woman I know has to refill her birth control every 30 days. If she wants to get an additional 60 days, she has to pay out of pocket. There's not a mail delivery option, so her mother has to go to the pharmacy and pick it up monthly. And it isn't available at consistent times. Sometimes her pharmacy will call her a week in advance, but sometimes they will call her just the day before she needs it. When this happens, her mom has to leave her job and go pick it up. My friends and I are just the small sampling of the 99% of women that will take birth control at some point in their lives. For birth control to be effective, consistency is essential. For many women, whether working multiple jobs or living in remote rural areas of the state, receiving only 30 or 90 days of contraception at a time can be an obstacle to effective use. A 30 or 90 day supply also does not adequately serve the woman without access to transportation and doesn't serve many college students and others who do not reside in one place. For something that almost every single woman will be on at some point in her life, dispensing a 12-month supply just makes sense. Thank you for your time.
Sounds like you're the daughter everybody hopes for. Thank you for being here today. Yeah. Any questions, Ms. Carroll?
Great testimony.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call the next panel. Elizabeth Remley and
Jessica Adamson.
And Jessica Adamson. We're all running around a little wild today. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Jessica Adamson here with Providence Health and Services. Regrettably, we're here with concerns about the Dash 1 amendments in the bill as written, though we have worked on some amendments that we can live with, and so Elizabeth will talk about those. Just some brief comments about our concerns about the base bill and the Dash 1. While we couldn't agree more that making sure that every pregnancy is a planned pregnancy and reducing abortions is absolutely an important goal, one that we share. We are concerned about moving to 12-month dispensing of drugs and the coverage issues that that could create, frankly, a precedent setting that we're very concerned about. Contraceptives, as we agree with Senator Steiner Hayward, are really a maintenance drug. What we're concerned about is folks coming in and saying, well, there are other maintenance drugs, and then getting into drugs that are extremely costly in a 12-month setting. So that's a very real concern for us, I believe for others in the industry as well. We would also say that we believe that bringing the stability of the drugs to 6 months helps ensure that after an initial course of 3 months that we know for sure at 6 months that someone's really committed to that specific form of birth control. So we would feel better with your stable on the drugs for 6 months than a 6-month dispensing is possible.
So I'm happy to answer any questions. Again, the underlying goal of trying to provide a method of avoiding unintended pregnancies, we couldn't agree with more. And we want to see if we can't get to a place where we can all take an important step together.
Chair Greenlake and members of the committee, Elizabeth Rumley here today on behalf of Cambia Health Solutions and its Health Plan Regions Blue Cross Blue Shield. I want to agree with Jessica Adamson for Providence that while we understand and empathize, I personally empathize with the intent of this bill. The Dash 1 amendments were posted, I believe, 2 days ago. We haven't had a whole lot of time to consider it. We know that the concept has been out there and we've been talking about it with Planned Parenthood and legislators and other advocates for about a month. But without seeing language, we didn't know what to focus our comments on. One of the other, along with what Jessica's mentioned, our concerns are around the risks of dispensing 12 months at a time, as far as the cost of a lost dispensation. Maybe you lose it at 8 months and we have to replace 4 months of it. We're concerned about We are concerned especially about setting a bad precedent around dispensing more drugs at the 12-month thing, at a 12-month supply. So we have some amendments in process. They're not posted on OLIS right now, but they would require a 6-month trial, as Jessica mentioned, that would be dispensed at the regular intervals, whether that's 30 days or 3 months at a time, and then we would dispense at 6 months at a time. We think that dispensing 6 months at a time reduces the number of trips to the pharmacy by at least half, if not more, to 2 times a year, and gets us to a place where we are dispensing birth control at a rate that is, or at a supply level that is a lot more convenient for folks without going into some of the risks that we can see with dispensing 12 months at a time. And so we would hope that the committee would let those amendments be finished and so that we can consider them and chat about what we can do.
I would suggest as a researcher in this area that there are many drugs that you would be better off as a health plan dispensing 12 months at a time. But that's a question we could have on a different day. So why didn't you have...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question, I mean, I'm looking at this. I kind of was having the same concerns as you were doing, but would you be okay if we addressed it? There's a bill coming from the Senate that allowed us to go to 90-day dispensing, and that was for if you're on a drug that you need, if you don't take it, it could cause problems. Like I take some blood pressure medicine that's a beta blocker that if I drop off the milligrams, it couldn't give me it. You have people that are on blood thinners, and we wanted to be able to allow that to extend to 90 days. That way, if something catastrophic happened, you could cover yourself so you had a 90-day
dispensing. Can we stick to this bill? We have enough today to deal
with. No, I'm just seeing if to address this bill kind of in the same way, because to go a year.
I have 90 days. They're saying 6 months is okay.
Mm-hmm. So, in 6 months was okay as well. So, I guess that kind of gets. So, 90 days you would be fine with. It's. But
sure.
A year.
Yeah.
Makes.
Chair Greenlake, Representative Widener, we currently dispense at 90 days, and often that's available via mail order. So for those that are across the country or internationally, I'm not familiar with how that works, but it's certainly across the country able to have that dispersed via mail order and delivered to your front door if you have a year-long prescription.
Can we stick to this bill? You don't
Absolutely.
Have to comment on the Senate bill. We don't have yet. Representative Hayden.
Chair Greenlake, I have a quick question as far as just the implementation of it. According to the CDC, all of these medications or contraceptives have a shelf life. The shortest is 2 years, and the longest appears to be 7 years, but only under specific conditions of sunlight, heat, temperature fluctuation, humidity, the list goes on and on. So if you have a 12-month prescription stored outside of these conditions, what does the research tell us about the effectiveness of it?
Chair Greenlich, Representative Hayden, I don't know the answer to that question, but we'll be happy to research that and provide you an answer.
Yeah, the concern is if it's not stored according to these conditions, it may not work anyway. Because what I'm understanding is the prescription isn't just paid for at the pharmacy for 12 months. It's actually the whole amount is filled at that point, right? And so then the pharmacy has no control over the appropriate storage of that prescription.
Chair Greenlich, Representative Hayden, that is our understanding of the intent of this bill, and those may be that absolutely this pharmacy wouldn't have any control over how these products were stored.
Okay. Might be something you could get back to me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3343. We'll make a decision before the end of the meeting on where we go. We don't have the paperwork at the moment on this, and if we don't get the paperwork in the next half hour or so, we'll hold the bill over till we'll reschedule it on the 20th. But we'll announce that before we're done. Close public hearing on House Bill 3343 and open public hearing on House Bill 3464. Madam Administrator, what do we have here? We're essentially dealing with the Dash 2 amendments.
Correct, right? Mr. Chair. The Dash 2 amendments dated April 8th, 15th are replace the original bill. The amendment requires the Oregon Health Authority to adopt rules regarding time frames within which a pregnant recipient on the medical assistance program needs general or specialty dental care, specifies services to be covered, deadlines, and that fee-for-service timeframes are to be the same, directs OHA to report to the Legislative Assembly no later than December 1, 2016, establishes January 1, 2016 as the operative date. Mr. Chair, you have the Dash 2 amendments. This is the pregnancy.
And we're essentially dealing with open card women, pregnant women, and basically access to primary dental care. That is
my understanding, Mr. Chair. We have two individuals that will speak to the bill and answer any questions.
Okay, let's do that.
Representative Kenny Geyer and Laura Etherton. Or just Laura.
Yeah, I could just say something to kick it off. Representative Hayden and I have been working on this, and the reason we had to do a total gut and stuff is that the original bill that OPC had brought to us said referring to dental specialists, and the issue was really we needed to find a vehicle. We've done a lot of work, though.
Laura, have at it.
Great. Chair Greenlich and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this bill today. My name is Laura Etherton. I'm the policy director for the Oregon Primary Care Association, or OPCA. We're the membership organization for community health centers across Oregon that serve about 393,000 Oregonians across the state in over 200 clinic sites. As you said, the House Bill 3464, the Dash 2 amendments makes this the new home of the bill to ensure timely access to dental care for pregnant women in the Medicaid fee-for-service population, or open card. And I want to thank Representative Kenny Geyer and Representative Hayden for their hard work on this bill, including really bringing together stakeholders, that the process has not only improved the bill, but it has brought stakeholders together in such a way that we're now discussing and coming up with ideas for how to implement the bill's requirement to make sure these mothers and babies have access to the prenatal dental care that will improve health outcomes down the road. Quickly, the bill does three main things. It simply requires OHA to set time frames for timely access to both dental specialty and general care in the categories of emergency, urgent, and routine. There are already rules for the CCO population. So in effect, the bill simply requires OHA to set time frames for patients outside the CCOs and do so in a way that's consistent with the rules that already exist. it made more sense to do that than to put all of those rules into law. So that way they can be more flexible and remain consistent over time. Secondly, it requires OHA to work toward ensuring that pregnant women are able to get in for an initial visit within 30 days of OHA becoming aware of the fact that they're pregnant. And then finally, the bill requires the health authority to report back to the legislature on progress by December 16th on progress to ensure that the timely access timelines are being met. And again, I just want to thank both Representative Hayden and Representative Geyer for all your work on this. I think we're in a really good place, taking a good step forward and knowing that the proof will be in the pudding of actually getting better health care access for this population. And I think we're well on our way. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions of the witness? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3464. Again, we'll wait a bit to see if we get some paperwork on it. We're still getting some, it looks like. And we'll come back and decide what to do with it. But I would, if we don't get paperwork, we'll carry this one over till Friday. I want to put on the record, I'm sure everybody down in fiscal is busy and not listening to this, to these meetings, but I really want to put on the record what an incredible job they've been doing getting us the fiscals on the bills. I'm sure every other committee is driving them as crazy as we are. I really want to say how great I think they're doing. And I also want to comment on our legislative councils, which are getting pounded with one amendment request after another. Both the fiscal people, it's been reported, and the LCs were here all day Saturday and all day Sunday trying to get us in the place we're in. So they're pretty amazing. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2302. This is one that has been floating around, having some controversy. What the hope is that we'll adopt the dash two amendments and send it to Ways and Means for further work. Can I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move that we adopt the dash two amendments dated March 19, 2015 for House Bill 2302.
Representative Noss moves we adopt the dash two amendments dated 3/19/15.
We don't have Bueller. Do you want me to see?
Yeah. Please stand at ease for a moment. Two amendments.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Are we good? Okay. The blue man. We need to wait.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on the motion to adopt the dash two amendments of 2301?
No.
Hearing none, is there any objection? Dash two amendments are in House Bill 2302. We have a motion on the bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that we adopt House Bill 2302 as amended and move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Oh. To Ways and Means.
We're sending this to Ways and Means?
No recommendation.
I'd like to rescind that motion.
Capital bill.
Let's try again.
All right.
I told
ready?
You we'd be not our usual smooth self today. Yes, please go ahead.
All right. Mr. Chair, I would like to move that we send House Bill 2302 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation.
Representative Noss moves we move House Bill 2302 to the Committee on Ways and Means without recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? So moved. Close the work session on 2302.
The next page.
Have we already done it?
We can do that one.
Yeah. Let's open a work session for the purpose of invited testimony and invite Commissioner Cowley to join us
on what house?
Describe this. This is on House Bill 2466. She's trying to slip over a little amendment.
Right.
You don't have to read all 46 pages, but if you briefly cover the highlights for the committee, that'd be useful, and then we will adjourn the work session and move it over to, I'm not sure yet, Wednesday, Friday or Monday.
Saturday would be good.
The lobbyists don't work on Saturday. We do, but they don't.
May I proceed, Mr. Chair?
Please, Commissioner.
Well, thank you, Chair Greenlick, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laura Calley. I'm the insurance commissioner with the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for permitting me to not read all of the amendments. They are quite lengthy, and I think I would share your gratitude to Legislative Council for working with us on these. They've been pretty extensive amendments. So I'll just go over it very briefly and happy to answer questions or talk about it when we carry it over. So if you recall this bill, when we came to talk to you a couple of months ago, it's a technical bill that that makes some fixes to realign Oregon law with federal law as relates to the Affordable Care Act. And so the majority of the elements of the bill are technical and non-substantive and just bring the state and federal laws into alignment. The pieces that are in the amendments that are before you today, we just received yesterday, and they really deal with the only two substantive policy issues that we're bringing forward in the bill. And they both center around this issue of the small group market. So those are employers, large groups that may become small groups. So these are employers that today have 51 to 100 employees, and they would be considered a small group. And under the federal law and current state law, they would become small group on January 1, 2016. And so the amendments take a two-track approach. One is that should there be a change in federal law, it gives us the flexibility to delay the expansion of the small group and allow those groups of 51 to 100 employees to remain large groups, give them more time to plan for potential changes in their rating and their coverage. So that's one approach. If there is no ability to delay that expansion, the other piece of the amendment is that it allows the Department of Consumer and Business Services to permit what we call transitional plans. And so it's allowing those same groups that I talked about to stay on their plans a little bit longer, the same time frame that we're already allowing the groups of 1 to 50 to stay on their plans. And that would allow them to stay on their plans up through their renewal on October 1st of 2016. And so we're working out a couple of technical details to look at those amendments and make sure that everything kind of allows us to do the things that we had set out to do, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you, Commissioner Cowan.
Thank you very much.
We will, where are we? We're on House Bill 2466. I will carry over the work session until Friday, 4:17 on 2466. Do you have that noted?
I do. 4:17.
Okay. 2948.
Do we have a fiscal on 2948? Not yet, Mr. Chair. And there's nothing in the queue. So
okay. We will carry over House Bill 2948 to Friday. Okay. See if we can get a fiscal on it.
We moved 3145 to Ways and Means already.
3149, that was next, right?
Yeah. Right, but 3145 is on its way to Ways and Means. We're still waiting for a fiscal on 3149.
We'll move 3149. We will carry it over to Friday.
Okay.
3149, carry over till Friday.
3230 we already announced will be rescheduled on Monday the 20th.
Yeah, what about 3301?
Still waiting on a fiscal. That's the natural path. Let me double check.
Okay.
Yes, I have not received anything.
Carry over 3301 to Friday. Have a note on that?
4:17. Okay. We already carried over 3396. Maya, is that right? Did we already announce 3396
yes, we
to
did.
Friday? Yes.
3506.
3506 will have to carry over. I don't have.
No fiscal on it?
Not yet.
We'll carry over 3506. Through Friday.
Okay. We already moved 3513 to Ways and Means.
What about 2120?
We're ready to work House Bill 2021, Mr. Chair, if the committee so desires.
What do we have? We'll open up a work session on House Bill 2021. What do we have, Madam Administrator?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2021 directs the Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Education to develop and implement a pilot program to provide services related to oral health education, the use of fluoride varnish, and daily brushing and flossing for children. Specifies the criteria for the participation. Sunsets and it's a pilot program, and it sunsets on the convening of the 2018 regular legislative assembly. Declares an emergency effective on passage. We have the dash five amendments, which develops the process for a parent or legal guardian to opt the option to opt out of the varnish program, allows OHA to determine the number of participants in order to determine the cost if the program is implemented statewide, changes program implementation date from the 2016-17 school year to the 2017-18 school year, sunsets the pilot program on the convening date of the 2019 regular session. Mr. Chair, this does have a fiscal impact, and it is being requested to be sent down to Ways and Means.
Okay. So we need to adopt the dash five and send it to Ways and Means. Is that right?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Can I have a motion on that?
Mr. Chair, can I do one clarification in terms of the opt-out?
Sure.
The purpose of this amendment was actually to continue the opt-out that we had had in terms of participating in the overall program, but to also specifically require an opt-in for anything that has to do with fluoride.
All right, wait a minute. Say that again. That's what I thought was the case.
We were being more specific in calling out an opt-in process for anything involving fluoride.
So anything involving fluoride, you'd have to get the parents' permission to do
it. Specific, right. It can't be opt-out, which was the original bill. You have to get specific permission, opt-in.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of the program, which is brushing and flossing and just education, is still an opt-out process.
Okay. And that's what the dash five does.
That's what the dash five does.
To further clarify, thank you. The opt-out means that the parents are educated possibly at the beginning of the school year, that program, that educational program on oral hygiene, will be part of the school process, and they would be able to opt out of that as they are many other things. It's not something that is required for them to do, but we were very specific additionally for those that have opposition to fluoride in any form, which is in every toothpaste, many gums, and certainly in fluoride varnish, that they would have an additional opt in, so they could write their name and say, I don't want that part of the program, but they could still get the educational part of it. So there's an opct-out, opt-in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more than that. I think they would have to.
They have to actually elect to be a part.
They have to.
They have to come in to get the fluoride.
Yeah, they have to sign to get the fluoride.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a motion on the dash five?
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 5 Amendment to House Bill 2021, dated 4-14-2015.
Representative Noss moves to adopt the Dash 5 Amendments, dated 4-14-15, to House Bill 2021. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection? So moved. Can we have a motion on the bill now?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2021 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to.
Not to the floor.
As amended.
He's getting there.
Okay. Getting there. Slowly but surely.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start over. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2021 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Noss moves House Bill 2021 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on the bill?
Or on the motion?
I mean, on the bill in this case, yes.
There is a small fiscal on it. We tried to keep it under $100,000. We'll continue to work on that. It's at 137, I believe. So it came in, or 223. 137 is personal services there. So we're going to try and reduce that, but the benefits of a program to stop dental caries or dental decay, which is 100% preventable, think about every filling or primary tooth extraction that our state pays for, that is preventable. And we think through education at early intervention, it will go a long ways to keep children in school, keep children out of pain, and be less cost to our state long term.
Any other discussion on the motion?
Okay.
Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Representative Kenner?
Aye.
Representative Kenny
Guyer? Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Weiner?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Hinton?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Noakes? Aye. Motion carries. 2021 is on its way to Ways and Means. Okay. What about, is there still one? Oh, we already know.
3149. 3149.
I'm not sure.
Friday.
Oh, it's Friday, because we don't have the fiscal. Do we want to review? I believe that's everything.
No, we still have the two that we haven't.
Oh, you want to wait and see if we've got an amendment on those two? Fiscal?
Could you, let's stand at ease for a moment. Yep. Could you check and see if there are any more like.
That's pretty big players. They were all favorite.
Please come back to order briefly. We'll hold the work session on 3343. Hold that till Monday?
Correct.
We will repost that on Monday. And the work session on 3464, we will we'll do on Friday. We'll repost that on Friday. Do you want to recap what we've done?
Do you have it so you can cross-check what I announce? Okay. Here's what I have down, Mr. Chair. 3343, work session carried over to Monday, April 20th. House Bill 3464, work session carried over to Friday, the 17th. 3517 is out. 2023 is out. 2028 is being carried over to Friday, the 17th. 2302 is on its way to Ways and Means. 2466 carried over till Friday, the 17th. 2948 carried over to Friday, the 17th. 3145 is on its way to Ways and Means. 3149 being carried over to Friday the 17th. 3230, we need amendments. It's getting rescheduled for April 20th. 3300 is on its way to Rules. 3301 is carried over to Friday the 17th. 3396 carried over to Friday the 17th. 3356.
Went to Ways and Means.
Yes, went to Ways and Means. Thank you. Too many notes. 3506 carried over to April 17th. 3513 is on its way to Ways and Means. 2021 is on its way to Ways and Means. 2758, we're waiting for an amendment, but we are going to carry it over to Friday the 17th.
Okay. Everybody agree? So yep. We decided?
Plus we got a bunch of bills up on Friday, too.
There are a few bills already scheduled for Friday and a couple of public hearings. Is that
no,
right?
No.
Yes, on the back. Monday.
But I think we have
sorry.
It looks like we. I could be. This could be old. Public hearing and possible work sessions for Friday on House Bill 3534, which requires premise where a person makes retail sale of tobacco products and inhaled delivery systems to be licensed by the OLCC. And we have a House Concurrent Resolution 23 honoring Ron Post for establishing Medical Teams International.
Okay. Anybody have any comments before we adjourn? We are adjourned. Adjourned? We are adjourned.